This week I sent out a couple of calls to let you know that today would be a day of prayer. I want to share my heart with you for a moment. I believe that God is about to do something marvelous in this place. But I also believe that if Satan has his way, he'll destroy it before it ever takes place. And I believe that it's a time that we enter into a season of prayer, fervent prayer. Scriptures teach us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We all understand that our righteousness is of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the prayers that we offer up are prayers through Christ. My text this morning will begin in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. But before I go there, the thought hit me in the song service. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And in verse 4, let me just read away and read verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to stop there. This week at minister school, Brother Mike Devane shared with us in the discussion period on one of the days that as you read through the book of Acts, you'll often see that phrase, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and. And when you see that, something is about to happen. I believe with all of my heart that the Holy Ghost is here today. My intention is to be more brief than normal. Normal, not being brief, but more brief in my message today so that we can have a time of prayer at the conclusion of the service. When I conclude the service, I've asked Sister Tamla that we sing the song, Just As I Am. And I don't want to do it as a dramatic thing. I don't want to do it to put on a show. But I pray that as we sing that song, Just As I Am, that we understand that we can approach the Lord just exactly as we are. But when we leave that place, something should have changed. We approach Him as we are. We leave Him differently than we approached. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 through 16, and I know that these, we hear these verses at July 4th. But there's something that God has placed in these three verses that quite honestly I had never seen before. And I've been rejoicing all week long. And the tears that I have been shedding this morning are tears of joy of the presence of the Lord in this place. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verses 14 through 16. If, we understand that's a condition, right? If my people, which are called by my name, we see ourselves as children of God, don't we? We're called by His name. That's a blessing. For every one of us, that is a blessing to be able to say, I'm a child of God. I don't say it in a boastful way other than boasting in the cross of my Lord and my Savior Jesus Christ. But God says, if my people, listen, the change that we want to see in the world today, it's not going to take place by the world. If there's ever going to be a change, it has to begin with God's people. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. The world doesn't teach you to humble yourself, does it? The world teaches you stand up for yourself. If you don't do it for number one, nobody else is going to do it for you. But God says, you humble yourself before me and see what I'll do for you. Amen. Humble themselves and pray. To communicate with God. To pour out our hearts before God. It seems to me that there are a lot of people today walking around with bile and anger and resentment and hatred and all of those things that are within us. And God says, come to me and pour it out. Pour out your heart before God. Why would I carry something around that's destroying me? When God says, if my people will humble themselves and will pray, pour out your heart before God, and turn from their wicked ways, we want to leave that part out, don't we? We want to pray to God but continue doing what we're doing? You can't take any one thing out of this formula and it be as God would give it to us. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble ourselves and pray to God and turn from our wicked ways, and seek my face, and then turn from my wicked ways, then, in the last 3 weeks, I think I've said it more than once, when there is a when, there is a then. Now I'm saying if there is an if, there is a then that will follow. If we will do those things, God says, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Flat out. Will God heal our land if we don't do the first four things? I don't think so. I don't think He will. I'm not saying He can't. There's a difference between not being able to and not doing it. And the reason He doesn't do it is because He's given us these things. Eternal heaven, that's taken care of by the blood of Jesus. But I'm telling you, there's things in this life that God has given to us, His children, that are conditions that you and I are to meet. We're to walk in those things by the help of the Lord, by the help of the Holy Spirit. We're to do those things. And He says, if you'll do those, then I will hear, I will heal, and I will forgive. Verse 15. There's an if, there's a then, but there's also a now. Now mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. You might say, well, he's talking about the temple there. Yes, he is. But listen, if it only had to do with the temple, why would he put it in his word? Why would he put it in the Bible if it didn't have something to do with our lives today? If the same truth that applied then doesn't apply now, there's no need to even open up the book. Because if any one part don't apply to it, then none of it applies to us. Amen. But it all does. Now, he says, mine eyes shall be open. I'm watching. I'm listening. So why aren't things changing? If God's eyes are open, if his ears are open, why aren't things changing? It has to go back to verse 14, doesn't it? The if. The if isn't being done. That's why. But verse 16 is the part that I have rejoiced in this week. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house. Don't just apply that to the temple that Solomon built. In 1914, I believe it was, the Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church was constituted. The Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church was consecrated unto the Lord. The Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church was dedicated unto the Lord. Prayers were offered. I wasn't there, but no doubt prayers were offered unto the Lord that the Lord would bless this place.
Amen.
This place. I'm talking about a geographical location now. I can take that spiritually and say, this place, my heart. This place, your heart. But he says, in this place, I have chosen and sanctified this house. This is the house of God, isn't it?
Amen.
We call it the Brooklyn Primitive Baptist Church, but what is it? It's the house of God. I have chosen this place. It wasn't an accident that this church was constituted. It wasn't just a whim that the people had to say, well, let's just start a church here. No, the Lord chose this place. The Lord sanctified this place. God doesn't change. So what does that mean today for this place? It's the chosen place of God. It's a sanctified place of God.
Amen.
Don't ever count it anything less than that. And yes, my heart is moved by this. I've chosen and sanctified this house. God is speaking now. I've chosen this place. I've sanctified this place. What is the result of that? That my name may be there forever. Did you hear that? God says that my name may be here forever. Hopefully we all pray that God will keep this place for generations to come, that when the Lord returns, that He'll find faith in this place, that there will be a people in this place that are worshiping God according to the truth of His holy word. Isn't that our prayer? What's going to make sure that it happens? If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then my name will be in that place forever. But it doesn't stop there. That my name will be there and mine eyes. That mine eyes will be there. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. You mean, you see? Yes, I see. What do you see, Lord? Do you see our mouths moving as we sing songs? Yes, I see. Do you see our ears open as we read and we hear the Word of God? Yes, I see. Do you see that my heart is out yonder somewhere? Yes, I see. Do you see that my heart is before your altar? Yes, I see. Mine eyes are in this place. But listen, there's a third thing. When I saw this, he says, and my heart is in this place. Do we understand the importance of this geographical location right here where we are right now today? It's God's house. His name is here. His eyes are here. His heart is here. If His heart is here, where should my heart be? Just on a place? Should my heart just be that this is a beautiful building? I'm going to get personal now. Is my heart just the fact that granddaddy was here and grandmama was here and great granddaddy and great mama, great grandmama, or the fact that God is here? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God meets with us every time that we come into this house? Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Sunday evening, not just on Wednesday evening, but when we walk through this sanctuary, Whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever day of the week it is, this is God's house.
Amen.
And when you walk through this place, God is here. His name is here. His eyes are here. His heart is here. How long, Lord? Perpetually. What does perpetually mean? Forever. People are still trying to invent the perpetual machine. It just goes on and on and on and on. God says man can't do it. But I will. My name is here. My eyes are here. My heart is here. Perpetually. Perpetually. I love that. One other passage and then we'll get into prayer. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. Verses 4 through 8. We sang the song, Standing on the Promises. Do you ever stop to think about the promises of God? And how important they are. Isaiah 56, starting with verse 4. For thus saith the Lord. How important is everything that follows after that? So the utmost importance, isn't it? It's not saying that this is more important than Isaiah 55 or Isaiah 57. But he's saying something now that when he says, thus saith the Lord, he's saying, listen to what I'm saying. Thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs, that means the attendants, the servants. Are we servants of the Lord? I trust we are. So if we're servants of the Lord, is he speaking to me?
Yes.
Is he speaking to you?
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths. Thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that choose the things that please me. He's getting pretty personal about this, isn't he? He's getting really personal about this. Thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that take hold of my covenant. Do we understand how precious that is? The covenant of God, the promise, with standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
He says, I want you to take hold of that covenant. And that word to take hold means that you hold it fast and you receive the strength that comes from it. That it has become a personal thing. It becomes a part of who you are. He says, I'm speaking to those that keep my Sabbath, that choose the things that please me, that take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house. Where's his house? Right here. You want to take that the geographical or the heart? And within my walls, are these his walls? Yes, they are. A place and a name better than of sons and of daughters.
Amen.
What name could that possibly be?
Jesus Christ.
Amen. Jesus Christ. A name that is above all names. The name, the only name under which that every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
Even to them, he says, I will give them an everlasting name. Has the name of Jesus diminished any today from 2,000 years ago? on that day of Pentecost, 50 days later, when the Holy Spirit came in as a rushing mighty wind, and they were there, and He just called them up in worship and praise? Has that name diminished? Has the power of God diminished? Why don't we experience that then? Yes, right. He said to choose those things. He says, the everlasting shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord, to serve Him, to love the name of the Lord, to be His servants. Everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and here we go again, everyone that taketh hold of My covenant. It's so important. Not just that we sing the words, I'm standing on the promises of God, but that we do it.
Amen.
That we stand on the Word. Even them will I bring to My holy mountain, make them joyful in My house of prayer. Their burnt offerings, their sacrifices shall be accepted upon Mine altar. For Mine house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. I love to preach. I do. I love to sing. But God's house has never been called the house of preaching. I differ with some of my brothers when they say, well, we've come to the most important part of the service. Preaching is important. Singing is important. It's all worship. It's all praise. But God's house has never been called a house of preaching. It's never been called a house of singing. It is a house of prayer. For you see, if prayer is not made, and I'm saying this knowing that you all are a praying people. Please don't get me wrong. I know that you pray for me. And I know that you pray for each other. But when we pray unto God, I'm sharing my heart with you. I said a while ago, I believe that God is about to do something wonderful in this place. But I also believe that we're being attacked before it ever happens. And there is a thing called prayer that we are to use as we come before the Lord.